One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Hazel and Paul up in Paul's studio at the top of the house.
Paul, what would you do if Pinky were your son?
Probably just what you and Dan are doing. Worry.
Oh, dear. What in the world will he do next?
I wonder how many mothers have said that.
Hmm?
At this very moment, I'll bet there are millions of parents lying sleeplessly in their bed saying just that. What in the world will he do next?
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Where there's Alka-Seltzer, there's a way to fast relief from acid indigestion. Yes, and it's an easy, pleasant way to relieve the stuffed-up, uncomfortable feeling of acid indigestion. Try it. Drink a glass of sparkling, pleasant-tasting Alka-Seltzer. Just dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, let it fizz and bubble up, then drink that refreshing solution. Alka-Seltzer goes to work with amazing speed. Yes, you're feeling better in almost no time. It's wise never to be without it in your home. Remember, where there's Alka-Seltzer, there's a way to fast relief from acid indigestion. Chapter 10, Book 80. Hazel came to the family home this evening with a check to pay Pinky's debt to his grandfather. But Father Barber refused the money. He is determined that Pinky shall earn the money himself by working. The distraught Hazel is in Paul's studio at the top of the house talking on the telephone to her husband.
Well, I'll be home pretty soon then, Dan. Father absolutely refused to take the check. No, I'm up in Paul's studio. I've been burdening him with our problem. He's sitting here smiling at me, so I guess he doesn't mind too much. I don't suppose Pinky's phoned to say when he'll be home tonight. Yes? All right, Dan. I won't be long. Bye. Dan says to ask you what you'd do if Pinky were your son, Paul.
Probably do just what you and Dan are doing. Worry.
Honestly, I thought my children were a handful when they were little, but when I look back on it, that was heaven compared to what we're going through with Pinky now. What in the world will he do next?
I wonder how many million mothers have said that.
Hmm?
At this very moment, all over this beloved country of ours, parents are lying sleeplessly in their beds or looking anxiously out of the window or calling on the telephone, and they're probably saying pretty much what you've just said. What in the world will he do next?
I suppose. But that's not much comfort when your own child's involved. And I could understand it if we hadn't done everything in the world we could think of to bring Pinky up right. We've sacrificed and done for him, and look what's happened. He's flunked out of college in his first quarter. He's proving to be completely irresponsible about this money he owes Father and won't stay on the job. And tonight he's over with some girl we don't even know, and heaven knows what else. Of course, Father says we've indulged him. But I don't really believe it's entirely that, do you? I'm not saying we haven't made mistakes, but, well, I'm rattling on here and not giving you a chance to get a word.
Well, go ahead, that's fine.
No, I'm not going to bother you about it. I just felt like letting off a little steam. It's our problem, and we'll just have to do the best we can, that's all.
Well, that's all any parent can do. When you've done your best, I'd stop having any guilty feeling of how you might have done better or how it might have been different if you'd done thus or so. It's all very easy for Dad to say you should have been stricter, but for all he knows, that might have created an even bigger problem with Pinky. No, there's never any simple answer to these things.
The thing that's worrying me now, even more than Pinky's failure to work, is this girl situation, this Eunice. The way he blew up this afternoon, he's apparently quite serious. I'm afraid he might run off to Reno or someplace and get married, Paul. Then we would have something to contend with. Do you suppose he might do a rash thing like that?
He might.
Oh, Paul, you don't really.
Well, that's just what you got through saying, isn't it?
Yes, but I didn't want you to agree with me.
What did you want?
Well, I suppose I wanted some reassurance. Oh, Paul, you don't think Pinky would really be so foolish as to get married at his age? Why, he isn't even 19 yet.
Let's face it, Hazel. In his present state of mind, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he thought marriage would be the answer.
But he's not stupid. He knows he couldn't support a wife, even with all his big talk.
Yes, but I understood that this Eunice was wealthy.
Yes, but Pinky's always said he'd never marry until he was older and was well established. That's one thing about him. He has a lot of confidence and seems to know what he wants out of life.
I wonder.
Why, Paul, he's so overconfident, he's almost unbearable at times.
You know, you're going to think this is crazy, but it's my opinion that Pinky's a scared little boy inside. And I think that's the cause of most of his trouble.
You mean all that brashness and boasting is just a cover-up for his real feelings?
To some extent. Of course, he doesn't know it. He thinks he's confident. And he has to act confident because he can't bear to let himself realize that he's really pretty fearful.
Fearful of what?
Of growing up, of being a man. Unconsciously, he's struggling manfully to break away from you. He'd laugh at you if you told him he still wants Mama. But he does. So what does he do? To prove that he's a man, he's acting the part for all he's worth. He's rebellious. He won't be told by his grandfather to work. He won't let those professors treat him like a child and make him study. No, sir. He'd rather defy them and flunk out. And now he's probably toying with the idea of marriage. Men get married, and I'm a man even if I am only 18. Piling up the proof, you see? He's got to keep adding to it all the time because there's that constant urge to be a child and go to you and say, "Look, Mom, I'm scared as the dickens. I don't know exactly what I'm scared of, but don't leave me because I need you. I might always need you."
What you're saying is that he's an insecure little boy and should have sympathy and love instead of discipline.
No, all I'm saying is that he's trying to evolve and he's having a tough time doing it. In a way, this is very healthy. He wants to be mature. Lots of kids don't even try. They like the warmth and security of the nest so they conform and stay children all their lives. Pinky's fighting to throw off his childishness, and he's making it pretty rough on everybody in the process. But in the long run, he'll probably be the better for it. Meanwhile, however, you and Dan are on a hot seat wondering what'll happen next.
But, Paul, isn't there some way to forestall anything dire happening? Maybe, for example, this strict disciplinarian attitude Father's taking toward Pinky might be the worst possible thing for him right now.
Well, I'm not so sure. He needs strength and firmness, too. And if he can identify with a strong character like Dad, it might help him to gain strength. It's contagious, you know.
Well, in a way, I feel better, Paul. But in other ways, I feel apprehensive about what may happen.
I know, but you have a lot to be thankful for, too. Pinky's intelligent, he's healthy, and he's not a problem in the sense that he's antisocial or a delinquent or anything of that sort.
Oh, yes. Dan and I have taken solace in that.
Oh, sure, you'll come through this all right. It's a question of whether his parents and his grandfather will be able to survive, that's all. Come in, come in.
Hazer?
Father, what's the matter?
Close the door, Dad. Come on in.
There it is. Hazer, that son of yours has contrived to get around me again.
Oh, dear, what's happened now, Father?
Look here. This just arrived. $242. Look at this. Cash.
From Pinky?
From Pinky. Brought by special messenger. If I had realized what this envelope contained, I wouldn't have signed a receipt for it. By the time I examined the contents, the messenger was gone.
Pinky sent a note with it, Dad?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Very grand. Very patronizing.
What does he say?
Dear Grandfather, I am sending you the balance due you herewith by special bonded messenger. You will find enclosed $242 in cash. I figure that I owe you $241 and some cents. But I am making it $242 even, so there will be no argument.
That boy.
You may very well say that boy. Yeah. He goes on. I wanted you to get this money tonight so you wouldn't be wondering why I didn't show up for work in the morning. When you receive this, would you be good enough to call Mom and Dan and tell them that I have paid my debt to you and also tell them that I won't be home tonight? I have been invited to spend the weekend at Seven Oaks. That's the show place here on Belvedere Island, where Oliver Higbee lives. He's up north right now, but Mrs. Higbee asked me to stay. We're going out on the yacht for a short cruise tomorrow, and I will be home sometime late Sunday, tell Mom. I have clothes over here, so tell Mom not to worry about my having anything suitable to wear.
That's about the least of my worries.
Yes, it's a good thing that young man isn't here right now in my present mood.
At the end of the letter, Dad?
No. It's this last part that I find particularly exasperating. He says, I'm certainly glad to get this debt paid off, Grandfather, and I guess you are, too. Well, as I told you, when you lent me the money, it wouldn't be long before you had it back. And I was right, wasn't I? I hope if the situation ever arises again, you will have more confidence in me. But now that I won't be working for you anymore, I want you to know that I don't resent those hours I put in with that sledgehammer and the pick and the idiot stick.
The what?
Yes, idiot stick. He explains what that is in parentheses. To your son, Hazel, a good, honest working man's shovel is an idiot stick.
That's a new one on me.
Yes. Now, listen to how he ends it. I got pretty sore at you this afternoon when Eunice drove up and called everything off because you had insulted her. But now I am grateful to you because it cleared the atmosphere and we are now on a better basis of understanding than we ever have been. Well, so long, Grandfather. Thanks again for the loan. I'll be thinking about you when I'm cruising around on the boat tomorrow. Your grandson, Pinky. Now, what I want to know is what kind of people is he mixed up with that they lend a boy money like this and keep him away from his home without a word to his family or anything else?
Maybe Eunice lent him the money.
Borrowing from a girl? Is that what he's doing, Hazel?
Oh, Father, I don't know what he's doing any more than you do, but I wouldn't put anything past him.
And from whom will he borrow the money to pay the girl back?
Oh, that probably hasn't even entered his head.
Well, if he thinks he's going to get around me that easily, he's got some more thinking to do. I'm going to get that young man back here, and he's going to work out this obligation just as he gave me his solemn word he would do.
Well, what are you going to do with that tainted money, Dad?
I'm going to send it back to those people. And the next thing I'll do is move that boy into this house. I'm going to make him work if I have to watch him day and night.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Do you have a cold right now? Then you feel pretty miserable. And that's why I want to suggest that you try Tabsin. That's T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin. The new and different antihistaminic cold tablet. Tabsin can do more to help relieve your cold misery, and here's the reason. Tabsin is more than just an antihistamine. Yes, besides containing one of the most effective antihistamines on the market to help relieve the sniffles and sneezes of your cold, Tabsin contains other relief-giving ingredients. These ingredients help to ease the headache and reduce the fever which so often accompany a cold. Now, you may have tried other antihistamines without the results you hoped for, but remember, Tabsin is different. Yes, here is a better cold-fighting formula than just antihistamine alone. And friends, you owe it to yourself to find out how Tabsin can help you. Ask your druggist for the new and different antihistaminic cold tablet made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. T-A-B-C-I-N. Tabsin. The bright red tablets in the bright red package. Here's the family again.
Well, I've got to get home and tell Dan about this.
Someday you'll look back on this and think it's funny, Hazel.
Maybe. But tonight, Dan and I'll be like those parents you spoke about. We'll lie awake wondering what'll happen next.
Friends, remember to try Tabsin for your cold. Yes, when you take cold, take Tabsin quick. Feel better quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin, now at all drugstores. Tabsin is the improved antihistaminic tablet made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tabsin relieves sniffles and sneezes, the watering and itching of the eyes and nose, but Tabsin does more. It can also relieve, quickly and effectively, the headache and fever which so often accompany a cold. That's Tabsin, T-A-B-C-I-N, for cold misery. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Monday, Pinky Returns to Bondage, Chapter 11, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.